Welcome to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. You will be able to find more Heartland sermons at hcc.ag or Heartland Christian Center YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our associate and student pastor, Matt Willingham.
Put your hands together for Jesus and welcome our online locations this morning. High five somebody as you sit down. Say it's good to see you. Today, good to see you here at Valpo. Good to see you at North Judson, at Wanata, at Hebron, at Westville, all online. Melvin, you sound good on them keys, bro. You sound so good on them keys. Melvin, that's my man. At some point in time, when Melvin feels, bro, we're gonna share Melvin's story of how we got connected. But man, I love him and his whole family, Miss Julie, Mama. She's my Puerto Rican mother. I've claimed her as my Puerto Rican mother, and she claims me as her Puerto Rican son. But it's so good to see all of you today. Welcome the guests, man. Want to welcome you today. Excited to have lunch with some of you after service. Can't wait. We're going to eat good. And I want you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 is where we're going to go in just a few moments and kind of start there. We've been in our series. Pastor Phil kicked it off last week, Storm Ready. The title of my message, if you're taking notes, there's a QR code you can scan and get the notes. I love even more seeing journals. I see all kind of journals now people are buying and bringing them, and you're taking all kind of notes. I don't know about you, but I lose sermon notes, so I like to keep everything in one spot. I don't lose that, so I journal on my iPad. But the title of my message, if you want to write it down, if you don't have the notes, the title of my message is, I'm off course, but I'm not out of control. I'm off course, but I'm not out of control. In Acts chapter 27, we're going to go there in just a few moments. But before we do that, actually bookmark Acts chapter 27 and flip back a few chapters, a few pages to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. And I want to paint the context. I want to give you the picture of what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the life of Apostle Paul, who gets caught in a storm. Ends up being a very bad storm. And in Acts chapter 27, I don't want to just jump right to the storm that he gets caught in without first laying out what's going on. In Acts chapter 23, he's been preaching, and there's some Jewish leaders that are very angry with him. They're not happy with him at all. They've been trying to get him killed, actually. And he's trying to escape, you know, and try to not be killed. And he basically makes a plea like, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't just try me like this. I deserve to go to Caesar. I deserve to go to Rome and make my case before you just try to execute me. And so Acts chapter 23, this is kind of the picture of what's going on. He's really in a lot of trouble. In verse 9, let's read two verses, verse 9 through 11. And it says, there was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees, stood up and argued vigorously. And said, we find nothing wrong with this man, they said. But what if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? And the dispute, now watch verse 10, the dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them. That's a rowdy riot to be caught up in. Like, they might legitimately rip this man in half. And so he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him to the barracks. Now, as if this isn't a bad enough storm, it's going to get worse for Paul. But in verse 11, the following night, everybody say the following night. Following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify about me in Rome. Here's Apostle Paul fighting and arguing literally for his life, and to the point where they have to send him away. And as I'm sure all of us would probably be a little sketched out at this point that, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this situation. The Lord shows up in his life, says, listen, Paul, don't worry. Take courage, man. I know they acting like they're going to kill you, and I know they would kill you if they could get their hands on you, but I've got my hand on you. And just like you've been preaching in here, Jerusalem, don't you worry, Paul, you're going to make it to Rome. And I can imagine Paul's like, yeah, I got it. Okay, God, you got my back. And that happens in Acts chapter 23. And in Acts chapter 27, just a few more chapters later, Then, though, they finally set sail to head to Italy, to go to Rome. Acts chapter 27, verse 1, it tells us that they finally set off and things are getting a little dicey, but they're headed to Italy. And I just want to get right to the message this morning. I want to talk to you first about my response in the middle of a storm. My response when it comes to the things that I am facing, the trials, the winds of life. And here's what I want to say. Storms must never rob me of the promises that God has spoke. This is my response. I want to help you this morning. This is the response that we must say as a Christ follower, that even though I'm experiencing winds and waves and trials of life, they must never rob me of the promises that God spoke. Now go to Acts chapter 27, verse 13. Paul has got the word in Acts chapter 23. Okay, I just told you about it. Just read it. God says, Paul, don't worry about it. Just like you've been preaching in Jerusalem, you're going to go to Rome. Acts chapter 27, they get on the boat, and it starts getting crazy. Verse 13 I want to pick up, and it says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. Can you underline that? Maybe write it down in your notes if you want to. They saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But before very long, verse 14, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. My response. Here is Paul, as if it's not bad enough, as being persecuted. He's literally running for his life. He gets on the ship, thinks he's finally headed. And I forgot to tell you, from Acts chapter 23 to Acts chapter 27, you know how long it was? It was 2 years. Paul gets the word from God, you're going to go to Rome in Acts chapter 23. He waits 2 years, y'all. Finally gets on the boat, and the Bible says they see their opportunity. All right, it's time to go. And they start taking off, and then a wind comes and a storm. And not just a little breezy wind, like a storm that starts like tossing this ship off and or back and forth. So here's my question that I wrote down. This was for me, maybe it'll be for you. What do I do when what looked like an opportunity is now an obstacle in my life? Paul waited 2 years. He gets on the boat. Finally, he starts to sail out. He's thinking, all right, this is the time. I'm going to get everything God has for me. I'm going to get exactly where God said I was going to go. I'm headed to Rome. And the brakes are thrown on because a storm shows up. And it begins to blow him sideways, begins to batter the ship. What do I do when an opportunity soon becomes an obstacle in my life? I almost titled this part of my message, I almost said, not just my response, but my reaction. Because I have to ask myself, what is my reaction when it seems like the momentum that I was praying for all of a sudden seems to come to a halt? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Now listen, the first service was really saved. Y'all don't be really saved this morning and talk to me like we know what we're talking about. But they come to the first service. They are really saved. They get up before us. So y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever felt like you take 3 steps forward only to take 5 steps backwards? Come on, where's the real people at? That's who I want to talk to today. Like, you feel like, oh, man, my finances are starting to get in order. I'm trusting God, and I'm tithing, and I'm really stepping out in faith. And all right, here I am. I'm moving. And then it seems like a storm happens, and boom, now I'm back 5 paces. Oh, man, my marriage and my spouse and I, we've been going through some things, and I feel like we got through it, right? And now I've paced up a little bit, and now things are getting better. And then, boom, a storm happens, 5 steps back. Man, I feel close to God. I've been reading my Bible, man, and I've been praying, and oh, I feel so close to God, and I feel like he loves me, and I love him, and man, we've just been growing so good, and then a storm blows, and I forget to read my Bible, or I miss prayer time, or things start happening, and then my mind games start coming, and I'm taking 5 steps backwards. Come on, we know what it feels like, and if we're not careful, see, I don't want to talk. I don't want to ask you what is your reaction. I want to teach you this morning. I want to help you have the right response. Because here's my natural reaction. I'm going to talk about to myself this morning, and maybe you'll amen that. My natural reaction is not a spiritual one. So I have to train myself to have a spiritual response to storms. My natural reaction, your natural reaction if somebody cuts you off in traffic, that's not a spiritual response, y'all. That's a natural reaction. Your natural reaction when someone does you wrong is not, come on, talk to me, is not a spiritual response. My natural reaction when someone has hurt us and we need to forgive, my natural reaction, Joe, is not to let them go and forgive them. That's not a spiritual response. You know why? Because reactions are mindless. They are. Reactions, they teach us this in psychology, that reactions are mindless, but responses is any behavior that results from external or internal stimulus. Now, I'm not going to be psychology 101 with you today, but this is what they tell us, that responses are mindless. They're just something that happens naturally. But a response is something that we have to train ourselves to do. I'll give you an example. In my house, if you've ever been to my house before, we have like a big pellet burner, a stove in my house. That's how we heat the home in the wintertime. All the country people know what I'm talking about. Propane is too expensive. We can't be heating the house with no propane. We got a pellet burner, right? And so the furnace doesn't run unless it's a really, really cold Northwest Indiana day. We really heat this whole house with a pellet burner. And it's actually kind of cool because you can see the flames. So it's also kind of cool looking. But it sits in the middle of my living room area. And where it goes, the heat kind of expands through the whole house. And I remember the first time that we moved in and the pellet burner was there, and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I did not realize how hot the pellet burner got. And I touched the front of the glass, and my natural reaction was, ooh, that's hot. I didn't have to think about, should I remove my hand from the glass because it's burning myself right now? I did not have to think like, oh man, I don't know if this is good if I keep my hand much longer. What happened? My natural reaction was, this is hot. Jerk your hand back. And then my response came as our kid, we had two of our kids were still a little bit younger, but now I got nieces and nephews, and we have small group, you know, they come over, and some people have small kids. So my response is I have to tell them, like, hey, that is hot. Don't touch that. Right? Difference. My reaction was natural, but my response is now learned. Stay away from that. Don't touch that. And watch, and this is the difference that it plays out in our life. This is why we have to ask ourselves, what is my response when it comes to storms? Because my reaction in a storm says something like this: God doesn't love me. My reaction when I experience storms of life is something like this: well, maybe God's forgot about me. Come on, talk to me this morning. My reaction is, you know what, I'm experiencing a storm in life. You know what, God's mad at me right now. That's why I'm experiencing a storm. I'm experiencing a storm right now, and you know what, he's mean. He likes to see me suffer. This is why I'm going through this storm. And I'll say things because of my reaction. It's just an automatic, it's mindless. I'll also say things like, I'm not going to make it through this time. You know what, maybe this storm, this is the one that's going to take out my marriage. You know what? Maybe this storm is the one that I'll never recover from. Maybe this is going to be the end of me. Maybe my kids will never know Christ. Maybe I'm not a good parent. Maybe I'm not a good dad. Do you see the reaction? It's mindless. But a response to storms is something that we train ourselves, that we stand on the word of God, that we stand on the promises of God, that we stand on, in spite of what I see, God, I know what you said. I train myself that I'm not reacting in the storm, but God, what is my response to this situation? God, what is my response to what I am experiencing? God, what is my response to what it is that I am going through? So let me give you three responses to help you train yourself. How do I respond to the storm? Then number one, write this down. When things are out of control, out of our control, they are never out of God's control. That's a good response. That just because it looks like the winds are out of control in my life doesn't mean I don't know the one who controls the winds. Just because it looks like the waves are tossing me to the side doesn't mean I don't know the one who I can call out to. And just in a spoken word, he can cause the waves to cease. Just because it looks like I'm out of control doesn't mean he has forgot about me. Doesn't mean that he doesn't care for me. Doesn't mean that he doesn't no longer love me. Just because I'm out of control doesn't mean he's out of control. Here's another response. Write it down. I'm not necessarily out of God's will when I get caught in a storm. Oh, I could preach a whole message on this. Well, what if I was to tell you that sometimes the storms you are in means that you're in God's will? Oh, we don't like that very much, do we? I got pretty quiet. Well, hold up, Pastor, man. I thought of a storm in life. I mean, it was the devil trying to get me, and it was just life trying to weigh me down. It was just things trying to... Well, go ask the disciples about Matthew chapter 14. When they're standing on the shore with Jesus, and Jesus himself puts them in the boat and says, I'm going to meet you on the other side. So they're obeying Christ by getting in the boat and sitting out to sail on the Sea of Galilee. And in their obedience to Christ, they set out to sea and they experience a storm. They were following everything Jesus said. See, do you see the difference in response and reaction? I've got to tell myself that, listen, sometimes I experience things and it means I'm doing God's will. Here's the third one. Y'all didn't like that one, so let me just give you the third one. I am not out of God's care when I get caught in a storm. I'm not out of his hands just because I'm in a storm. I'm not out of his eyesight. See, it's the complexity and it's the beauty of the gospel and it's the beauty of God. That I truly believe, and you're in the church that believe, God does not cause everything to happen. He's a good God. He's a loving Father. He doesn't make everything happen in our life. But the Word tells me that for those who trust and put their hope and trust in the Lord, that he has the ability to take whatever it is I'm experiencing, and when I put it in his hands, the Bible says he can work it out and bring good out of it. Not that it is good. What is good of a what good is it when someone gets a phone call and says, you've got cancer, you don't have long to live? Well, what good is it when a spouse walks in the room and hands the other spouse divorce papers? That's not good. Well, what good is it when a parent has to lay a child in the grave? That's not good. But there's something about our Heavenly Father that when I trust him and when my life is in his hands, when I place my purpose in his hands, that he's able to take everything that I experience, even the storms, even the difficulties, even the waves, even the winds of life, he's able to put it in his hands and work it all out, and I still see good out of it. There's a difference in my response and just having a reaction. And Paul stands up. Let me go back to the text in Acts chapter 27. And in verse 22, he stands up. Now, again, I don't have... Go read Acts chapter 27 this week for your devotion time and read everything. I don't have time this morning to take you through everything in the text. But they're experiencing this storm. I mean, the waves are just... I mean, they were headed to Italy and headed to Rome, and they're way off course. I mean, the ship, they have no control. It's getting battered. Sailors are thinking about jumping overboard. Like, it's probably safer in the water than it is here. I mean, they're cutting stuff loose. And in verse 22, Paul stands up. And he says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship's going to be destroyed, y'all. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you. Good looking out on that one. Way to encourage me. Nobody's going to die, but listen, guys, I got bad news. This ship ain't going to make it. Well, I'm on the ship, so how are we not going to die, Paul? Right? Verse 23, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong to and I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. Do not be afraid. I'm going to stop right there. I talked to you about my response. Let me talk to you now about my responsibility. When storms of life come, my response, right? My response is that I remind myself that storms should never rob me of the promises that God spoke. But my responsibility, even in the middle of the storm, is to write it down, trust God's care openly when the storms of life come. Paul is not in his prayer closet saying this prayer or making this declaration. Paul is standing on the boat in front of everyone on the boat. Roughly, we don't really know how many people exactly are on the boat, but we know there's roughly about 270 at least with prisoners and some other people. Some people say it might be more than that. So Paul standing up, let's just use the number 270. We're all in agreement of that. Paul stands up in front of 270 people. The winds are bashing. The waves are coming. The rain is pounding the boat. People are just thinking about jumping off, and he says, hey, guys, hey. It's going to be okay. Paul, are you out your mind right now? Do you see what we all see? It's going to be okay. Listen, not everybody's going to live. Not a boat. That's another story. But everybody's going to live. It's going to be okay. And I find this so peculiar in the scripture of the responsibility that he takes on. Because watch, even for Paul, now he knows what the Lord said to him. Matter of fact, an angel comes to remind him. An angel, this is Luke who writes these words. The apostle Luke was actually on the boat as well. And Luke is who wrote a lot of Acts. And so there's Luke on the boat, and there's the apostle Paul. There's some theologians say there's even some other disciples on this boat as well. And an angel has to show up. Now, you don't think Paul's freaking out? Paul's freaking out. You know how I know? And God's like, hey, angel, go calm him down. Remind him. I told him what I said. Like, come on. That's just human nature, right? So an angel shows up just to remind Paul, like, listen, I know it's a little sketchy right now, but God made a promise to you 2 years ago, and he's going to get you there. And what I find so crazy is that how he can stand and make this declaration is Paul is headed to his promises, right? Like, he's headed to what God has said, and yet all he can see are problems right in front of him. And he has the faith. Might I add the audacity to stand in front of everyone and say, guys, I know it's rocky right now. We're going to make it. My responsibility, how much now more than ever do we need a culture that needs a church? And I don't mean a church as in Heartland, a church as in the Big C church. How much now more than ever do we have a culture that needs a church not to be perfect, Not to have all the answers, not to even agree on everything that is happening, but how much now more than ever does the culture need the church to be able to stand and declare, this is what the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord. This is God's plan for your family. This is God's plan for your identity. This is God's purpose for your marriage. How much now more than ever? But oh, Pastor Matt, the winds are blowing. Yeah, they are. Yeah, but Pastor Matt, you don't get it. The waves are coming. Yeah, they are. But listen, for you and I, our responsibility is to stand and declare and to trust God. What? To trust God openly. It's time for some of you to get up out your prayer closet and start telling other people around you what you've been praying for. It's time for some of you to get up out your prayer closet. And I'm glad you got a prayer closet. I'm glad you go to Bible study. I'm glad you're getting in the Word. But some of you need to go to your jobs. Some of you need to get on your campuses. Some of you need to speak to your families and start saying, no, this is what God says. This is what God has declared over my life. This is what God has declared over this place. And we got to start speaking it out loud. But watch this. To trust God openly, though, to trust God openly in his care, that is not opposed to using prudence or common sense. But let me say it again. To openly trust God does not mean that we don't use common sense in storms. Again, go read Acts chapter 27. It's sweet. There was moments that Paul had to use some common sense in the middle of all of this. Everybody's trying to jump off the ship. I ain't going to lie, I would have been too, because he said everybody's going to make it, but the ship ain't going to make it. 1 + 1 = 2 to me. The ship ain't going to make it. I'm on the ship. I probably ain't going to make it. So everybody's trying to jump off the ship. Paul's like, hey, you can't jump off the ship. And really, when you study it out, it wasn't necessarily that he was keeping them out of the water, but it was all the sailors. It was all the people that could do the work. It was all the people that knew how to row the boat. He goes, listen, if everybody bails, ain't nobody going to be here rowing the boat. We got to keep some people on the boat. That was common sense. And oftentimes when we get in these storms of life, oh, listen, I'm glad for spiritual answers. I'm glad that I pray and I seek counsel from other people, and God has these moments of thus saith the Lord. But sometimes, listen, in our life, we find ourselves in more trouble in a storm just because we ain't using common sense. Listen, there's nothing spiritual to this right now. I'm going to help you out, though. It is a spiritual principle. Like, I'll give you an example. Sometimes we'd be like, I'm just praying for God financially to, you know, get me, I want to be a better steward, Pastor Matt. I want to trust God. I want to be able to give. And so I've got all these financial issues. Well, listen, maybe you're in this storm, and the reason you got all these financial issues is because you got 15 different streaming services you're paying for right now a month. Common sense says, I don't need Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and ESPN Plus and DirecTV and Apollo TV and Voodoo TV and YouTube TV. I don't even know how many TV. I know it's a lot, y'all. It's a lot of streaming services. And so common sense says, if I'm trying to get my finances in order, maybe there's some things I got to let go of. Y'all didn't like that, did you? Common sense. Common sense, when I trust God openly, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I'm trying to shed a few lbs. Got a little spare tire going on around me. I need to shed like 10 pounds, all I need. And I was telling Les, I was getting frustrated. And I was like, man, I'm working out and I'm doing my workout routine, Les, and I'm sweating more than what I feel like I've always sweated. And I ain't losing no weight. I'm gaining weight. And I was like, I don't think these workouts are working. And she looked at me, she goes, I don't think, Matt, the workouts are the problem. I think it's the grilled cheese and potato chips and bowl of cereal right before you go to bed. That's the problem. That's why you're gaining weight. I was like, okay, cool, Les, thank you. Tell me in love next time. Appreciate you. Right? Common sense. Common sense is, right, oh, I'm going through a marital storm in my life right now, and if I'm having a marital storm, then maybe my advice shouldn't come from somebody who's single and don't know anything about marriage. Come on, do y'all see like common sense in our life, right? Listen, you and I have to understand. Paul used it in their life. They had been going through a fast right before they got on the ship, and they're on the ship, and Paul looks at everybody, and he says, hey, y'all, bump the fast. We need a lot of energy. Start eating some food because we got to row this boat. It's common sense. Doesn't mean that there was any less spiritual. And listen, sometimes I think that you and I, we're waiting for these aha moments from God to how to handle our storms. And God's like, it's just common sense. I'm trying to show you, use what I've already given you. It's wisdom. Write this down too. Here's the second thing. To trust openly in God's care is not opposed to using the means that God gives us to get us out of the storm. Listen, oh, I'm trusting God. I'm experiencing a storm. That doesn't mean I just sit and idle by and let the storms of life blow. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 27, 19, they had extra weight on the ship. The ship was too heavy. So he looks at him and says, hey, guys, we got to lighten this load. Start throwing some stuff overboard. Just start getting rid of some things. Get rid of that fishing tackle. We ain't going to need that anyways. Get rid of that extra food. Eat what we need, but get rid of the extra stuff. Hey, untie all the extra weight. Throw it overboard. We don't need no extra clothes. Get rid of it. What was he doing? He was using every mean that he had to get through the storm. An angel shows up to assure them and remind them. Again, it was human nature. They felt overwhelmed by this catastrophe of this magnitude. They get in a boat. Paul's like, I'm headed to Rome, and yet I'm off course now because of the storm. And watch what Paul was expecting and what he was experiencing wasn't adding up. And isn't that difficult to do? I think that's one of the hardest. I think that's the hardest point for me in my journey with Christ, is when my expectations of what God said he's going to do and my experiences don't match. That's tough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like when what I know God says, but what I'm experiencing is not the same. And if we're not careful, we let our experiences negate the expectations of what we're waiting for. We let our experiences of what we're going through make us forget about what God said to us over our life. I preached a message a couple weeks ago, months ago. I don't know how long ago it was. I don't remember what I preached anymore. But it was the message, if you was here, you might remember. It was the message of Joshua and the nation of Israel. And it was in Jordan. It was in Joshua chapter 3 that Moses is gone and they're coming to the Jordan River again. And the priests are carrying the ark. And I was reminded of that story this week. And I went back and I read it again. And I preached a message of how they was carrying the ark and they, on God's command, they had to step out into the water. The water was at flood stage, so it's not a calm stream, it's flood. And so they had to step out into the water. And when they were stepping, or as they stepped, God told Joshua to tell them that as you step, the brook is going to be dried up. But I thought of that. Of the story, and I went back and I read it again, and look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. I don't know, do I have it on the screens? I don't think I do, but flip over in your Bibles or on YouVersion if you got it on your phone, and just listen to it. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, and it says, now watch, now listen, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge. Now listen to verse 16. Listen if you're not reading it, follow along. The water from upstream stopped flowing, and it piled up in a heap a great distance away. The water from upstream, my expectations and my experiences. They got in the water. I saw this again. They got in the water. And the water parted, where? It stopped where? Not right where they were standing. It is good, isn't it, Joe? It was way up where they were not even standing that the water stopped. And this is what I wrote down. This is what came to me. Don't let downstream doubts make us lose focus on upstream miracles. We could pray right now, couldn't we? That sometimes we're standing in something. That I know what God has declared. I know what God has said, but it hasn't got to me yet. I think that's a word for somebody. That sometimes he's a yet God. That I know it's coming, but it's just not here yet. I know what he said is going to happen, but it's just not here yet. I know what he said my marriage can be, but it's just not here yet. I know what my family can look like, but it's just not here yet. I know what my finances can look like, but it's not here yet. I know what the impact in our city can look like, but it's not here yet. And if we're not careful, we jump out of the stream before the miracle ever gets to us. Look, we're going through this right now, even in our own team. And even as our church, we've been praying and we're believing. We know what God has said about the Sunshine Center. And we're working hard. Man, they're so, y'all, we are on the verge. I know you've heard us been saying it for months. You're like, yeah, right, y'all. Y'all, we are on the verge, I'm telling you. We are on the verge of something. And we see it happening there. It's just not here yet. And if we're not careful, listen, my word to you this morning is don't let go of what God has spoke to you. Don't get out of the stream just because it hasn't showed up yet. Because it's coming. It's taking some time. I wish it was faster. Some of y'all get so nervous about things that we share with you that we're praying about. Y'all would freak out if we shared with you what we're praying about all the time. We just dribble it out to you what we're praying about. I heard a leader say, they said it like this, don't ever show your embryos. Meaning like when it's in birth, when it's in just a little embryo stage, you got to be careful what you show. If we showed y'all every embryo we got right now, half of y'all be like, oh man, I don't know. Lord Jesus, what's going to happen? That's a leadership principle for your own life. That sometimes we got to be willing to hang on, that just because it hasn't arrived, just because it's still upstream, doesn't mean that God is not a God of promises. Doesn't mean that God has went back on his word. Doesn't mean that God cannot come through. It just hasn't showed up yet. The river gets dried up. They cross over. The Apostle Paul is hanging on to this word. The angel comes and reminds him in Acts 27:24. And watch, write it down. I got one more for you. To trust God, to trust openly in God's care means that we will be different in the storm than those who do not know God. Does it mean we're perfect? No. Does it mean I have all the answers? No. Does it mean I get rescued from the storm? No. But my response is different than those around me. Everybody else was trying to jump off the boat. Paul's like, guys, you got to stay on the boat. Everybody else is like, we ain't going to make it. Paul's like, guys, angel showed up, reminded me. Listen, I ain't going to lie. I was thinking the same thing you were, but an angel showed up. Reminded me, we're going to make it. We're going to get there. What was that? That was the Apostle Paul standing. What is the word to us? That is us. Our responsibility now more than ever is to be different than those around us. For some of you in the storm that you're facing right now, your responsibility is to forgive different than how other people would forgive. Your responsibility is to give different than how other people would give. I don't know what it is. You fill in the blank for you, but we're facing all things, and it's the power of God at work. It's not because we have it all together, but it's the power of God and His Holy Spirit at work in us and through us that then makes other people look around and say, there's something different about you. How do you forgive that way when you have every right to hang on to? How do you have faith? How do you stay in the flood waters when they haven't receded yet? How do you not quit on a marriage like you don't quit? How do you pray prayers like you pray? It's us openly declaring to those around us that we're going to be different. Thirdly, let me give you this. I'm almost done. Let me talk to you about my reminder. This is where I want to land today. Here's the reminder that I want to give you in storms and trials and life and difficulties that we face is that God is sovereign over the storms of life. I don't know how you came in. I don't know what you clicked online to watch and you're going through at North Judson. I don't know what you might be experiencing something at Hebron. But listen, I've come to remind you, God is sovereign over the storms of life. We will experience them, right? Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have storms. But take heart because I have overcome the world. And we have to remind ourselves, not only do I fix my response, not to be a reactionary, but I have a response. Not only do I make myself and understand that I have a responsibility to declare God's goodness, but my reminder to my own self is that God is sovereign over the storms of life. Come on, worship team. I love this story of Paul. I'm going to come back to it in 2 weeks. I got a whole nother message I'm going to give you out of this. And I'll give you a teaser. You ready for it? What do you do in the storms of life and you experience a storm and it's not even your fault? That's what Paul was going through. It wasn't even his fault that he was in this storm. Come back in 2 weeks. That's a teaser. But in this one, God is sovereign. Well, what does that mean, God? It's such a spiritual word. That's such a Christianese word, such a biblical word. If you go to Webster's Dictionary, sovereignty means the status, the dominion, the power, the quality or state of having supreme power or authority. I don't want you to miss it. The quality or state of having supreme power or authority. I told you earlier, it's the beauty of our Heavenly Father that He can take what is happening in our life. He didn't cause it. He doesn't necessarily always send it, but He can take it when we trust Him and we put it in His hands. He can take it and use it and get glory out of it. And here's the Apostle Paul. In Acts 23, he's headed to Rome, y'all. God told him, you're going to get there. In Acts 27, he gets on the ship. They start going. A storm starts coming, and it's just blowing. The ship is getting tossed aside. Spoiler alert, when you go read this week, they get shipwrecked. They don't make it out the storm. They're headed to Rome. Go look it up on a map this week. I showed it one time when I preached a message out of this text. They're headed to Rome, and they end up in a city called Malta. The message that I preached one time, it was talking about how, as if it couldn't get worse, you know, they're in the shipwreck. Some of you might know the story. Paul gets and makes it out of the shipwreck. Everyone lives, just like Paul said, like the Lord told him. Everyone lives, and they get up on the island. The islanders are taking care of them. They're getting dry clothes, and they get a fire to kind of start drying off, and he's building a fire, and a snake jumps up out the fire, bites him right in the hand. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me, as if it couldn't get any worse, right? And so, but why? So he's headed to Rome, but ends up in Malta. I'm off course, but I'm not out of control. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm right where he has me. I wish I could have arrived sooner to my destination, but God has me. He is sovereign. He has supreme dominion, supreme power over my life. And this is what I know. It's oftentimes in our life, if we trust God, what looks like it's supposed to be the end, what looks like it's supposed to be destruction, what looks like it's supposed to be something that just causes us to be discouraged, is really can be just a pause and a stop in our life. I'm off course, but I'm not out of control. What looks like should be a shipwreck for Paul. So we even call it a shipwreck. It's not a shipwreck in Paul's eyes. It's just a stop. Let me show you the text. Y'all looking at me all crazy. Acts chapter 28, verse 7 through 10. Says there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius. So the first service, we got a lot of babies being born. If you got a son being born, there's your free name, Publius. Use it. The chief official of the island, he welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. Now watch, verse 8. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. I love this. Verse 9, when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. And I love verse 10. They honored us in so many ways that when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies that were needed. When I understand, hear me this morning, when I remind myself that God is sovereign over the storms of life, when I remind myself that God, I might be off course, but most importantly, you're not out of control of my life. When I remind myself, I wish I was in Rome, but I'm here in Malta, but as long as you're with me in Malta, I'm still gonna be okay. I can understand in my life that what looks like should be something that should destroy me just becomes something that God uses as a new destination. Because did you just see what happened? Revival breaks out on the island. People start getting healed. The gospel starts getting preached, and they welcome him in a way that is beyond anything they could have reckoned. Listen, Paul could have sat there and could have got his boo-boo, his spiritual boo-boo lip out and said, I ain't doing nothing. That's what sometimes we do. God, I ain't doing nothing for nobody. I call it spiritual boo-boo lip. God, I prayed a prayer, and you said I was going to Rome. I'm in Malta. I know somebody's sick. I ain't praying for nobody. Leave me alone. Paul could have done that. And oftentimes, hear me this morning, we get so discouraged that we start pouting, and we miss out on the power that we're still walking in. Just because it looks different, just because it's been delayed, just because we're off course a little bit, and we don't understand that if I just trust God no matter where he's got me, well, is it different than how I wanted? Absolutely. Is it a little farther off course? Absolutely. But the storms have blown, and life has happened, and God, I'm going to trust you right where you have me, and when I trust you, God, you're going to use me, and I can begin to pray. I can begin to speak to people. My faith can be strengthened. I know I'm off course, but God, I'm not out of control. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, it doesn't matter where I end up. If God is for me, it doesn't matter how off course I feel. As long as he has me in his hands, everything is going to be okay. And as he stops there on this island, a place he never intended to be, a destination he never planned, God uses him in a mighty way. Why do I tell you that? I don't know where you stand this morning. I don't know where you sit this morning. I don't know where the storms of life have blown you. Is it different than how you looked or how you wanted it to look? Maybe so. But if you trust God, He'll use you right there. Come on, I want you to stand. If you trust God, He'll use you right there. Why? Because He's a sovereign God. The ship was out of control, but God was never out of control. The storms blew, and God said, I'm going to use it to do something great on this island. And listen, I don't know what it is you face this morning. I don't know what it is you're coming in this place going through. But listen, I've come to remind you, God is sovereign. God can use you wherever. If you submit and surrender, come on, I want you to lift your hands up all over this place. Come on, no matter what you came in this week from, come on, I know you may have felt, maybe you've been reacting this week. You've been reactionary in your decisions. You've been reactionary in your response, in your thought processes. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. He's wanting you to respond. He's wanting you to remind yourself of who He is. He's wanting you to have a responsibility, even in those storms, to declare His goodness of who He is. Come on, with those hands raised. Come on, before we even pray. Come on, before we even pray this morning, I want you to lift your hands and declare this by faith. Declare this over your life. Declare this over your circumstances. My hope and firm foundation, He'll never let me go. Come on, sing that. I put my faith in Jesus. He's my anchor.
My anchor to the
Even when the storm flow, God, even when the winds
my
blow, God.
Hope and firm foundation,
yes, Lord.
He'll never let me down.
Come on, sing that again. I put
my faith in Jesus. My anchor to the ground. My hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me.
Come on, one more time before we pray. Declare it today. God, we're declaring this by faith. God, we speak it over our lives this morning. We speak it over our families this morning. God, over our marriages this morning. Come on, one more time. Come on, say it.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at pastorphil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.